So glad to have each of you with us. We have, don't want to embarrass you, we have a couple that's joining with us today. Ann and Steve. Ann and Steve. And they are from Georgia, the Peach State. So welcome to Living Water Ministries. Very glad to have you with us this morning. Georgia's a beautiful state, and I'm a big Braves fan. All right. Psalm 46, be still and know. Be still and know. I want each of you to understand that as a believer, as a Christian, God is never away from you. God is with you in every situation. He is with you in every storm. God is always there. We may not fail to see, we fail to see him sometimes because we let the circumstance overpower God. We let our storm overpower the presence of God, but he's there and he's with you and he's for you. And we have the victory because of him. He's guarding us. He's watching us. He's helping us. He's healing us. He's always in the process of delivering us, increasing us, and blessing us. And we don't always see that journey sometimes. We don't always see the journey. Me and Melanie have experienced a personal story or event the past week to where we had a desire for something. We held on for it. We believed for it. It didn't happen. Like most people, at least most human beings, we question things, right? Why, God? We believed it. We prayed for it. We desired it. We thought it was right. But you held that from us. Why? We found out last week why. Very obviously, why. If we hang out long enough, we'll see God knows what he's doing. And God knows all. God can't see what tomorrow holds. I mean, we can't see what tomorrow holds, but God does. We can't see what next year holds in our lives, but God already has, already knows. God already knew that Brother Fresco, and by the way, it's so great to have, isn't it great to have Brother Fresco in church? It's wonderful to have him back. He was on death's door. Death's door. And I walked in that VA room, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I mean, he looked like he was on death's door. And here he is, restored, been released from all rehab, healed and made whole by the hand of God. Because in his battle, God was with him. When he was struggling for life and death, God says, I'm life, and I'm more powerful than death. And God brought him through, and we're so thankful for that. Brought him through. Thank God for that. So we don't always see God in our storm. We don't always understand why things happen or don't happen. But I want to encourage the church today that God is with you, and just be still and know that. There's times we've got to just sit back and rest in the things of God and trust him for who he is. And really believe he has our best interest at hand. Really believe. We pray that, God, let your will be done, but we don't always mean that because when his will's done, we question it. You said you want my blessing. You want my will. You know, Proverbs says that the blessing of the Lord maketh us rich and addeth no sorrow. In other words, that when God does something in our lives, it's for our good and there's no gotcha to it. There's no attack behind it. It's just there. We see things that the world gives us and how that it puts that carrot out there and we take a bite. And it may be good for a few bites, but then the carrot's pulled away, and we're left hungry and empty. And we're left begging for more and more and more. We're never satisfied. But God satisfies. God completes us. God fulfills us. God is with us in every walk of our lives. In those dark seasons we don't understand, in those places that we question, God, why am I here? You ever question that? How did I get here? I wasn't here a few years ago. How did I get here? Did I possibly land in the spot I'm at today? I don't belong in this spot. But you know what? I think we do. I think we do belong in this spot. I think God knows what he's doing. And I think that because we're in this spot, that we begin to look at God in a deeper, more intimate way. We seek the face of God. It's in those storms. Take it this way. I told you this story when I was a kid. Most of you grew up this way probably if you're my age or older. And maybe you still do this. And mom explained to me after service that day why they did this. But remember as a kid, when it started thundering outside, lightning. What did you as a kid have to do during that time? Sit still, didn't you? Couldn't go to the refrigerator. Mommy, I got the potty. You sit there and wait. I don't want to get electrocuted going in the sink. Had to sit there. Couldn't do nothing. It's like we couldn't even talk. Hey, Dad, shh. Okay. hey, Mom, shh. I mean, he's like, and Mom explained to me what it was, that it was a reverence toward God. It was a reverence toward him. And Mom just didn't want to get struck down by his voice of lightning. But you know, during those storms, you sit still and you're quiet during the storm. And guess what? The storm passes. The thunder stops. The lightning stops. The clouds break. The sun shines again. In those storms, if we could learn to just be quiet and rest and be still and know that God's going to bring us through it, we've never been left in the same storm forever. We may have different storms, other storms, more storms, but not the same storm. Each storm passes. Each storm of your life will pass and move on. He was in a storm on death's bed. That's past. That storm's behind him now. He'll have other storms to go through, but not that storm. See, God is with us in each storm. God is with us in each season. God is with us in each moment of our lives. If we just recognize that and know he's God. And we see God in all things. I was thinking over here yesterday how we see God in all things. We see God in every sunrise. We see God in every sunset. We see God in every creation. We see God in how the birds sing. There's a, in our driveway back here, it always puddles up there in front of the building. And every time we have a storm and it puddles up right there, there's all these birds out there in that water, dipping and drinking and flapping their wings, and they're in that water. Different kind of birds all out there. I'm seeing God in that. We have a woodpecker at our house every now and then we'll hear in the mornings. That's annoying. You ever heard a woodpecker at your house? That's the most annoying noise. Like a drill in your house. But you know what? As I'm closing my ears, I'm hearing God in that. I'm hearing God as Woody Woodpecker is on my house. We see God in all things. Y'all was thinking how I even see God in my golden retriever. I'm being serious. How you see God create an animal with such loyalty and such love, you want to call it that, for companionship, who follows you around where you go in the house, can't get away from, like a shadow, follows you around. You know, you can spank that old dog, talk ugly to that old dog, be mean to that old dog, and as soon as you go, forgot all of it, right? Couldn't we be like that as people? I mean, we're not that forgiving, are we? You see God in all things. You see God in the rainbow that breaks right when the sun's coming out from a storm. You see God in the thunder and the lightning. You see God in the clouds. You see God in everything and all things. You see God. So that should give us great comfort that, man, just like David said, if I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I go to the pit of hell, you're there. Wherever I go, God, I can't escape your presence. How true that is. When my three children were born in this world, I held them in my arms and saw their little bodies, and you get to hold them in, you know, pretty much one arm when they're born. And they're looking at you, and they got little bitty fingers, and, you know, the little new hair, and they're so soft, and you could just, they're like China dolls. You see God in that. You see the hand of God in every birth and of humanity. You see God in all things. You can't look at anything and not see God. So we've got to know and be still and recognize, God, you're there. You're always there. I may not feel the way I want to feel you, but I know you're there. And that's where faith really expounds into something powerful, when we realize that every day I walk, God is there. When I wake up, he's there. On my journey at work, he's there. In my car, he's there. Everywhere and every moment I breathe, God, you're there. And when we learn that he's really there, it gives us a boldness to walk in that faith, knowing, God, you're with me. Nothing can destroy me. Nothing can harm me. No plague can come nigh my dwelling. For you are my God. You don't just not around me, but you live in me. You're with me. You surround me everywhere I go, every step I take. God, you're there. Thank you, God. And I won't ever give up, because you're not give up on me. You're not going to drop me. You're not going to leave me. You're not going to cast me into hell. You're not going to abandon me because I mess up. You're a God of love, a God of peace, a God of passion, a God of power. You're my God, and you're for me, and you're not against me. If we could walk in that, realizing no matter what we've done, God's love remains steadfast. No matter how far we've drifted, God's hand is always there reminding us, I'm right where you left me. I'm still here.
I'm still hearing your cries. We see God in our tears, don't we? We see God in our laughs. We see God in a casket when a child of God has gone on. We've seen the hand of God deliver that person from the captivity of this earth into his kingdom. We've seen God. We see God at every wedding ceremony as a bride and groom. I mean, I'm talking about a man and a woman, just to clarify. When a bride and a groom are standing hand in hand, and they're holding hands and making vows before God, and they're pledging to each other, they become one flesh. They're pledging to each other in the eyes of God, I will care for you and love you all the days of my life as long as we shall live. You see God in that because you see the same thing with us, the church, and God as bride to Christ. Every flower that blooms, you see God. Every garden that grows, you see God. You go by now and see gardens. People are planting their gardens and stuff is starting to grow. You see God in all that. There's no other explanation but God. You see God in every life. That you take a tomato seed that's and put it in the ground, and before long you've got a branch, and you've got leaves off of it, and then you've got the buds, and you got the fruit. And before you know it, that little seed that had no identity becomes the best tomato sandwich you've had all year long. That's pretty amazing how you see God in that. You can't go without seeing God. He's present. He's now. He's real. For those people that say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in any kind of deity, man, open your eyes and look around. My God, look around. There's nothing you can touch that God didn't give. From the pine tree to the daffodil to the red rose, there's nothing God didn't create. From the alligator to the grizzly bear to the eagle that soars, God's hand says, you must live. And he created life from nothing and gave it to us. And we behold his glory every day we live, every moment we're awake, every step we take, we see the glory of God because he's there. And he's active. He's not some God on a throne way off somewhere that don't know what's going on with our lives. He's not checked out somewhere. He's not way away somewhere. He's with us. He's in us. And he's around us. And every day, he's showing who he is. Every day, there are still new species being created. New things being discovered. Things in space being discovered. Things that man once didn't know is now seeing things. Why? Because God is still active. God's on active duty. He's still active. He's on the active roster. He's not retired. He's not quit his job. He's on the throne, and he's on there to stay. Let's get into some scripture. Psalms 46, verse 1. This is how the Amplified I'm reading this morning, because I like how the Amplified expounds this. God is our refuge and our strength, mighty, impenetrable to temptation, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Not only is he present, he's well-proved. What does it mean? God's proved himself to us over and over. God's proved himself. God has now touched Doc's heart twice. I mean, twice recently. He's proved himself. You did it 3 years ago, you can do it again. Well, there you are. You did it again. God's proved himself to Brother Fresco. I was on death's door. You brought me out, God. You proved yourself again. You proved who you were, that you're my healer. You proved you're my deliverer. You proved you're my way maker. When I couldn't find a job, you opened the right door. When I had no money, somehow you made a way. You proved yourself over and over. When my child was burning with fever and I laid my hands on him and prayed the prayer of faith, the fever broke before my hand left his head. You proved yourself over and over again. You have made a way. You proved yourself, God. He's a present help in our time of trouble. Right now, God can help you. Today, this moment, this second, any moment you're awake, God can help you. He's present. He's not past, and he's not future, which he is all those things we know, but he's present. He's present. The same power of God that moved upon the disciples, upon the apostles, upon the old prophets, still moves today upon us. He's not changed. The Bible says God's not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mankind's watered it down because of I really don't know why they watered it down. I really don't understand that. I mean, if we preach the power of the gospel, man, people's lives would be transformed. They'd be changed. If you really tell people, man, God can do anything. No ifs, ands, or buts. He can do anything. But we always add the little clauses. But if he don't, well, you're planting doubt. What do you mean if he don't? You just said God can do anything, but look, God can do anything. We got to understand God can open any door. He can heal any sickness. He can deliver any captive. He can save any soul. He can break any addiction. God can do anything and all things for anybody and all people if we will believe that. He's an active, present help in our time of trouble. Are any of you in trouble today? God's there. Do any of you need some help? Call upon the name of the Lord. Whatever you're battling right now, believe God is able in your present moment to come into your life and do something for you that nobody else can do. He's present. He's active. You don't have to con him up. You don't have to light a bunch of candles and do a bunch of chants. You don't have to try to find a certain person. You don't have to follow a certain leader. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is present. Jesus is risen. And the Holy Spirit is in our lives for a reason, to empower us, to lead us, to teach us, and to help us into all truth, whatever that is. So we serve a very present God. So just here's what it is too. Do you know God's all we need? It's a simple formula. I know it is. It's a take one pill for all cure, so to speak. Think about this. For some of you that have all these pills, your own different medications for issues, you got purple pills, pink pills, green pills, blue pills, red pills, purple striped pills. You know, you got them by day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you take them three times a day, whatever. All these pills, you know, arthritis, bursitis, you know, endocarditis, whatever, you know, blood pressure, cholesterol, mental issue, whatever. You got all this stuff. Well, if the doctor said, I got one pill, throw them all away. One pill takes care of all of it. I'm in for that. Right? Give me the one pill. Get rid of all the junk. One pill takes care of it all. God's enough. He's enough for what we need. It's not we need God and we just need God, period. Because God has what we need. We search out God, but then we search out other avenues or other things or other teachings or other this or other creeds or other doctrines. And we think there's some, and we spend all of our time and our intellect trying to figure things out. Instead of letting the Holy Spirit just touch our heart. Just touch our heart. You can't understand, someone can't be saved intellectually. They're saved in their spirit. We can't sell salvation like we can sell chicken wings. Thank you. Somebody's hungry today. We're not selling a bucket of chicken wings up here. For $9.99, get all you want, endless bucket of chicken wings, mild, hot, spicy, flaming hot, roaring hot, really hot, hell hot, or whatever. We're not selling that. We're talking about salvation. And that doesn't come here. I don't care what anybody tells you, it don't come here. See, we cannot make a decision to follow Jesus until Jesus first calls us. Period. I totally believe that. Bible teaches this. We can't just say, well, I've tried this, I've tried that, I'll try God. No, you can't just try God. God's got to first speak to you and make you aware you need him. He's got to make you aware, God, I need to say, I need something. I'm bankrupt, I'm empty, I don't know where to go. I need something. Then God begins to move and put those thoughts in your mind about turn to me and call upon me and come to me. And then he starts speaking, then he's drawing us. He's a present help in our time of trouble, and still is today. Man, I'm glad for that. Verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear. We don't fear because he's a present help. Think about this. Some of you might have got bullied in school. I didn't get bullied too much, but you know, bullying wasn't as big in my day. I guess it was big in my day, but I just didn't. I don't know. I was just all that. It didn't mess with me. But anyway. It was one guy I didn't like, kind of bullied me a little bit. But think about this. You get bullied. What if you had somebody with you every time, every hallway you walked, and they were right there with you? But you're a clean-looking guy, you know? Muscles, bald head, T-shirt. Everywhere you went, they went. Mess with them now. You touch them now. Touch them one more time. See what happens. Look at them wrong. See what happens. Try to make trouble for him and see what happens. Well, that's God with us. We ain't got to fear what the devil brings our way. God's there. So you know what? When the devil tries to attack me, he can't help but see the God that's in me. Now, whether I allow God to operate in me is a different story. Or whether I just let the devil rule me and just step all over me and take my milk money every day.
a while, rise up and say, hey, I'm not alone. Devil, you're not going to keep me down one more day. I'm tired and I have any peace. I'm tired and I have any joy. I'm tired of you robbing me of those things. I'm going to take it back. I'm going to take it back. I'm tired of being so discouraged and so much pain. And I'm tired of being in this lost place that I feel there's no hope and there's no future. We all get there. I don't care how spiritual we are. We face those moments of our lives. All of us have been there. Do we face those dark moments and we need the encouraging hand of God to lift us up? There are some of you that have cried tears in private no one knows about because of the pain that you have in your heart. The pain, the suffering, the lack of peace, the lack of joy. And you shed tears over that. And you don't see any hope or any change. You're like, what's going to break this? Your God, who's a present help, will break that if you'll let him be your God. See, there's a difference in Jesus being our Savior and our Lord. Let me explain this for a minute. I was thinking about this yesterday, another here preparing this message. We accept Jesus, our Savior, to redeem us from our sins. So we're redeemed. We're saved from our sins. It's a wonderful thing, beautiful thing. But then many people stop right there. They accept him as Savior. I'm forgiven. But they don't make him Lord of their lives. You know what that means? It means we follow him. It means we surrender our will to his will. It means that his voice is more powerful than our voice. It means he's my Lord now. Wherever you lead me, God, I'll go. You know what it means? It means that every decision we make first channels through him. What would God think about this? When he's our Lord, everything we do first goes to him. God, what do you say about this? That's what being Lord of our lives is. And that's where many of us fall short, because things in the world get us pulled away. And we know Jesus. We love Jesus. He's our Savior. But we're not living our lives as him being our Lord. We're doing our own thing our own way, not letting him be a voice at all in our lives. What a shame that is. I mean, it's like a kid that won't listen to his parents. You know, you tell them and you tell them and you tell them and they don't listen. They think you're stupid and don't think you know what you're talking about and think they're smarter than you. But you know. And you're telling them and you're helping them and you're training them and you're teaching them. And when they go against that, you're like, that's a big waste of air. You know, they're not letting parents, and I know it's a natural thing, we all go through it, but children aren't letting parents be that Lord voice, so to speak, in their lives. You're my mom and dad, and I love you, but I'm not going to listen to you. I love you, but I'm going to do my thing. That's how we are spiritually. Lord, I love you, but you know what? I'm going to do my thing. If I want to go out and boogie all night long, I'm going to boogie all night long. Because I'm forgiven, hallelujah. I'm under grace. We wonder sometimes why we're miserable, because we've not truly submitted our life to the will of God. Because his will could be totally different than our will. Our will is this. God says, I desire this. I don't like that as good, God. My will is a Big Mac. God's a veggie burger. Are you kidding me? I want meat in my burger. God, I don't want a veggie burger. But that's the best thing for you. If we could learn to listen to God as we would like our children to listen to us, wow, wouldn't we walk a lot different? Think how God must feel when he's always speaking to us through the Holy Spirit, giving us that direction. We just ignore it. We just run right through that red light. God puts a red light up, go right through it. Nothing's coming. Not here. Up the road it is, though. And your timing just threw everything off because you ran that red light. Follow God as your Lord, not just your Savior. As your Lord. Make him your Lord. Make him king of your life. We will not fear that the earth should change and that the mountains be shaken in the midst of the sea. Though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling and tumult. There is a river whose streams shall be made glad, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her right early at the dawn of the morning. Here he's talking about Israel here, but to talk to us as well. No matter what happens around you, don't be shaken by that. God's going to fight for us. God's going to help us. I believe that God does so many battles on our behalf we never see. God is surrounding us, and he's fighting off things that we never see coming. Protecting us, watching over us, interceding for us. For things that are trying to come into our lives, but the hand of God stops that.
before it materializes. It stops it. Because he says, this one's mine. I'm fighting for them. Don't fear when mountains move. Don't fear when things change. Don't fear when storms rise. Don't fear anymore when the lightning flashes and the thunder rolls. Don't fear that no more. God's with you in that. In that most desperate moment, God's not checked out and left you. He remains steadfast. And if we could learn to look at our eyes and see him in the midst of that and know, God, just like with the disciples, you're on the boat. The water's roaring, the waves are hitting, the wind's blowing, but you're on the boat with me. And as long as you're on the boat with me, I'm not going to sink. I'm not going to sink. I'm going to stay on top, right where you put me. If we could learn to let God lead our lives and guide our lives and be that active help that we need him to be and not pretend he's not there. Sometimes the last one we call upon, we go through a storm, what do? We call, okay, we talk to our wife about it or our husband. And we boo-hoo and whine and complain and we're stressed. And you know, I'm talking for me too. So then we go to work, talk to everybody at work about our problem. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Then we start getting on the internet looking up, what do I do about anxiety? We start Googling stuff. Boy, Google. I bet God wishes he was as popular as Google. You can Google anything, man. You can Google anything. Why do grizzly bears stand up? You can find the answer. What makes a blue jay blue? Not that I've done these things, but you can find those things. And so we're on the internet Googling stuff. How do I fix this? Then we're talking to our spouse. How do I fix this? Then we're talking to our friends. How do I fix this? Then you come and talk to me as a pastor. How do I fix this? And we're researching it, and we're talking to everybody, and God's like, hello. Hello. I'm your Lord God Almighty. I am Jehovah God, Jehovah Jireh, the Most High, the Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley. Your healer, your redeemer, your savior, your deliverer, your helper, your comforter. Hello, your counselor. I can do anything. I can do all things. If you quit Googling the computer and Google me, we might get this resolved. So Google me. Okay, God, I'll Google you. How do I fix this? Step back. Let me just talk to you. We don't take time to listen anymore. We went through a drive-thru the other day, me and Melanie, and I was so frustrated. I almost said something, but I didn't. See, now I'm a pastor. I've had to back off a little bit of my natural personality. Because I know what I represent, so I've had to back off a little bit. Because I'm very aggressive. I can be very aggressive. I have to back off. Okay. It's not a good life for Jesus, so I'll be good. I go through the drive-thru. We're ordering like just a drink or ice cream cone, just something. And, you know, they're so fast now, drive-thrus trying to get you through. I'm like, I would like anything else? Sweet. I got it. And I like to have anything else? I so felt like reaching through that speaker, pulling her little neck out, holding it. Can I finish? I mean, really? Can I even get my words out? Are you a psychic? Do you know that I want a vanilla ice cream cone and a sweet tea before I say it? Oh, I'm so aggravated. But see, people don't want to take... No, I know you don't do that, Sierra. Nobody wants to listen anymore. They don't want to listen. Your kids grow up. What's the first expression they learn as a kid? I know. You do? You know what? What was I going to say? No, that's not what I was going to say. But boy, they learn that quick, don't they? Now listen, Ashley. Yeah, I know. You know what? You know that I'm getting ready to get you a big old chocolate chip cookie? Oh, no. That's right. You didn't know that, did you? We don't want to listen. We want to talk. We want to spew our stuff. We want to try to get answers without taking time to listen. To listen. You know the joke we've always heard all of our lives. God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. He wants us to listen twice as much as we talk. So think about that. 2 ears. 1 mouth. That tongue's hard to tame, isn't it? Take time to listen. God will speak to us if we'll take time to hear him. And he's not on your timetable. Understand that. You can't be watching a game. You can't be watching the Penguins, Don, okay? And you're praying to God, I need an answer. You know, you pause it during a commercial, mute it. I need an answer, God, and you got about 2.5 minutes for to answer me. We put God on a timetable like that sometimes. Maybe not that extreme, but we do. And sometimes God don't answer for a long time. You know, the children of Israel, they went to the promised land. They got it. God said, you're going to promise. I got a special land for all you folks.
You're going to love it. Milk and honey, it's beautiful, and it's going to be your own place. He gave the Israelites. And they got there. But they didn't get there in a week, or 6 months, or 5 years. It took them 40 years to get there. But they got there. 40 years. A journey that was a 10-day journey took them 40 years. If you do research, they could have got there in 10 days. You're talking about not stopping to ask for directions. You know what I'm saying? Like 40 years. But God had them out there. So everything in God's timing is not like our timing. So we may think God's not helping us. Like me and Melanie last year, we was praying for something, and we was trying to get it to come to fruition. And we thought God wasn't helping us. But last week we learned he was helping us all along. We were just too blind to see it. God was helping us. You know, I truly believe this. We do our part. We do our part. We work hard. We do all we can do. And then we let God do the rest. And if it's God's will, the door open. If it's not, the door close. A closed door doesn't always mean a non-answered prayer. A closed door, many times, is a very answered prayer. Trust that present help. Trust that. I know it's 11 o'clock. Give me just a few more minutes here. What verse am I on? Thank you. The nations raged, the kingdoms tottered and were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. Isn't that good news? The God of Jacob is our refuge, your fortress and high tower. Let's talk about that just for a minute. He's our fortress and our high tower. We know what that means, basically. A fortress is something that protects you. If you're in a fortress, man, nobody's getting to you. You are sealed off. Fortress. You know, back in the old medieval days, they had these castles and the drawbridge, and they'd bring that drawbridge up and get behind that castle and have soldiers up on the wall and up on a hill, and man, you were in your fortress. You were impenetrable because you could see all and you were protected. So God protects us and seals us, even we don't see it. And then he's our high tower. You know what a high tower is? Lifts us above all things. A high tower is a place of elevation. So we're above the storm. He's above the storm. He's above the problems. He's above the enemy. He's above all things. He's above everything. God's our high tower. Not only does he protect us, but he lifts us above it all because he's with us. There's many things that we have escaped, the devil had planned for you, that God intervened that we never knew about. We never knew about. Some things we do know about, that he intervened. I was in the road as a little boy. About 3 years old, I was in the middle of a busy road. Mom's on the phone, not paying attention to me, not being a very good mama. And I was in the middle of the road. She heard horns honking. She knew. Oh, my gosh. Because I'd come in there to ask her something in my baby babble, you know, whatever. She just, you know how you as a parent, yeah, it's gone. Well, I went on. So I'm like Maverick here, standing in the middle of the road. Horns honking. I don't remember this at all. I really don't remember it. But Mom does, and she ran out there and got me out of that road, and I'm sure she held me and loved me and cried and probably said, thank you Jesus, you know, all that, and probably made me a special treat or something, I imagine, I don't know, but no, I doubt she, well, I don't know, did you spank me? Yeah, she spanked me, so I don't think she spanked me, because it was her fault, she told me to go. Are you serious? You told me to go, bam, you told me to go, really? But see, God protected me in that moment. Because a car could have just took me right out. I've been gone. Gone. Life over. But God, sorry, but God kept me. When I was 8 months old, I had double bronchitis pneumonia in an oxygen tent when I was 8 years old in the hospital. That's pretty serious when you're that age. 9 months, sorry. Yeah, 9 months old. Yeah, amen, sister. 9 months. Double bronchitis, pneumonia, oxygen tent. God's hand on me. God was with me in that moment. A moment I couldn't remember. A moment that I couldn't fight for myself. A moment I didn't know what was going on, but God did. And in that oxygen tent covered me up, God was there. In every season of our lives, God is with us. We may not always see him or may not hear him the way we want to hear him or may not understand why he's doing the things he's doing. But like I've been saying the last few weeks, we know the verse, God moves mysterious ways. Sometimes he does. Don't act shocked when he does. Don't act like, well, how'd that happen? Well, God moves mysterious ways. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, the Bible says. So trust him. He's our fortress and our high tower. A couple more verses, we'll be done. Let's see. 8, thank you. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation and wonders in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow into pieces and snaps the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Let be and be still and know, recognize, understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. There's no other person higher than Jesus. Don't care what anybody says. He is Lord. He is God. He is King. And there'll be a day all creation will know he is Lord. Every knee will bow. Even those that didn't accept him will have to bow. Just like the man at the cross when he died on the cross and the rock split, he said, surely this was the Son of God. So will it be in that generation where they will say, he was Lord, he was Messiah, he is God, he is King forevermore over all creation. He crushes every doctrine, every tooth, every season, he crushes it. Got a little excited, sorry. He crushes every other thing because he's Lord. He's above everything, church. And there's nobody like him. There's nobody can compare to him. We can try to find other teachings, other avenues, other ways, other things other than what the gospel says. But we read here that I will be exalted above all nations. I will be exalted in all the earth because he is Lord. And the last verse closes out here. Says that, wrong Bible, hang on. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Once again, it says this, our high tower and our stronghold. You're not alone today. I want you to leave here with this in your heart. You're not alone. God's with you. Wherever you go, God's with you. Those times you think you've done so much that his presence has departed from you, no, it's not. You've done so much that he gave up on you. No, he hasn't. God called you by name, and he knew all the stupid stuff we would do after he called us by name. Think about this. Why would he call us by name and save our soul if he's going to throw us away when we messed up? Or when times got tough, he'd leave us. The Bible says that he will never leave us and never forsake us, ever. I'll be with you to the very end. I'm with you. Paul said that neither life nor death nor principality, things present, things to come, angels, you know, any other creation, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Wow. Think how powerful that is. Nothing can separate us from that love of God. God's with you. Be still and know he is God. Just be still and know. Understand and recognize you're with me and you're God. And no matter what I'm going through, you've got this. God, you've got it. Hallelujah. Come on up, Bruce. We'll get ready to play a song here in a minute. I hope you are leaving here encouraged, feeling the presence of God with you and in you, knowing that whatever you're battling, he's battling it with you. The Bible says that we have a high priest that feels our infirmities. He knows when we're crying, when we're mournful, when we're desperate, when we're desolate, when we're empty, when we're discouraged, when we're afraid. God knows. He feels that. He felt your fear, Sister Josie. I like her little nickname. He felt your fear in the VA when you saw your husband there on death's door. He knew this strong Holy Ghost woman who believes I can do anything, still does, but I feel her fear. Maybe feel a little bit of doubt, discouragement, thinking about what ifs. He knew all that and thinks no less of you. You're his child. And he was right there in that room to comfort you and help you. And even send me that day. It's so funny. She says, you couldn't have walked in at a better time when you popped in that Sunday to VA. You just popped in at the exact right moment. That was all God ordained. God says, you need some comfort. Wow. He's with us. Be encouraged. This storm will pass. I promise you. your storm will pass. Every storm does. As long as you're in the storm, just know He's still God. And start trying to look for Him in that storm. Try to see Him, that He is really in that storm with you. And He's got you like this, not letting go. He's holding you. The wind can't blow you away because He's got you. All right. Thanks for being with us this morning. And we will, of course, have service tonight if you want to be back, 6 o'clock. And go out and have a good day. And tell somebody about the Lord, how much He loves you, how much God loves them. We are in a generation that needs love like never before. I mean real love. Love. All the broken homes and broken lives and broken youth, broken churches. We need to be loved. Every one of us needs love. There's no greater thing. And we have the love of God, it completes us. To know that God loves me, to know that God loves me, Bruce, that God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, loves James. Loves you. The years you were on the road, the years you were outside the walls, His hand was never away from you. In that moment, in that season, always watching you. Always has eyes on that one. Watch old Bruce will do here. He'll come on back home one day. He'll come on back home. He'll run out of allowance money. He'll come on back home. He'll need some Hot Pockets. He'll come on back home. Ain't got no gas for his car. He'll come on back home.
Ain't got no car. He'll come
home. Yeah, that's right. Got no car. Got no home. Ain't got no home. He'll come back home.
That's right.
All his friends left him. He'll come back home. All his friends are broke because they spend it on booze. He'll come back home. One day God stirred you to the point you came back home, brother. It's awesome. Awesome. Let's stand at our feet. We'll pray. We'll pray our offering as well. Lord, for this message today, I pray that it gets into our spirit, Lord, really into our heart. That we know You're with us, God. That we recognize and understand You're God. Nothing catches You by surprise. Nothing gets You off guard. Everything we face, everything we battle, Lord, You know. The dark secrets we hide, You know. The shame we carry and the guilt, You know. The desperation, the discouragement, You know. The fear of the future, God, You know. You know all things. You are God. I pray that our hearts be more in tune, God, with Your presence. That this church body is in tune with Your presence. That in the midst of their storms, in the midst of their despair, they will see You, God. They will see a glimpse of Your glory to remind them, I'm here. Just trust me. You're going through it, but I promise you, I'm bringing you out of it. And when you come out of it, you'll be greater, more victorious, stronger, closer to me, more enlightened than you were before you went in it. For everything has a purpose. Every season has a reason. And you're in the season you're in, but you won't always be there. Trust Him. Lift up the hearts today, God. Encourage those that are fighting discouragement, depression, fear. For those that need to hear Your voice afresh. They just need to hear You speak, God. I pray You speak to their hearts afresh and give them that daily bread they need. For those carrying such pain, such troubles in here, let them feel the burden lift even now, God. Let them feel the burden lift off of their shoulders as they cast all their care upon You right now. As we come to this place of worship, not to be entertained, not even just for fellowship, but we come to hear from You, God. We come to experience Your presence, Your power, Your life-changing experience. Thank You for what You've done here, for the word we've had today, for speaking to our hearts. Let us be still and know, whatever we're facing, You're God, and You're going to bring us through, and that You are with us always. You're with us. You're our strong tower. You're our hope. You're our fortress. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, I ask blessings upon the offering as we give unto You today as an act of our worship as well. As we surrender, Lord, of our first fruits unto You, that You honor that and You bless that and You use it to bless this ministry and you bless the kingdom of God with it, that lives are changed by the love and giving of others. We'll give you honor, praise, and glory for who you are. Thank you that you are God, and that's never going to change. The one thing that's constant, thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. The church said, amen. Sing something, Bruce. You got an offering to give. You can come.